Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. Today is Monday, March 2nd, and this episode's coming to you live from the Thin Wall Shitty Apartment. Boom, boom, crack, boom, blah, boom, boom, blah, blah. Shitty Wall Apartment! Oh, man. So funny. It's like, to me, the Shitty Wall Apartment is... It's like equivalent to having a roommate, you know, like you come home from a road trip all burnt and you're like, man, I hope my roommate's not there, you know, just so you can just lay down and just fall asleep. But with the shitty thin wall apartment, it's like having like three or four roommates. You don't know where the sound's coming from or who's going to be, what's happening, what, you know. Oh, anyway, how are you guys? And, did you have a good Easter? All that stuff. I had an incredible weekend. Just insane weekend. Was out on the road with my man, Mr. Bill Burr. We were in Tulsa and we were in San Antonio. And I'm going to tell you, it was electric. Tulsa, first of all, I remember when I had Danny Boy on here from House of Pain and he was talking about buying the house that The Outsiders was shot in, the movie The Outsiders. This week was the 35th anniversary of The Outsiders, and I just happened to be in Tulsa. Danny picked me up at the hotel, took me to the house, and it just blew my mind. You want to see some photos, check out Instagram. But what a day, man. He took me on The Outsiders tour, which was amazing. The thing that was really the coolest about the whole tour was he took me to the drive-in. And I talk about the drive-in once in a while on this podcast, the drive-in movie theater. And man, I just couldn't tell you what it made me feel like as we pulled around this turn and there it was, the giant screen. And it was old school. Like, it was fenced in, but the fence was open. We could just drive right in and it's still open. And they were showing Ready Player One this weekend right there at the drive-in, man. And the thing held, like, I would say, like, maybe 500 cars. Imagine back in the day, the 40s, the 50s, or whenever it opened, like, everyone would go to the drive-in. That just hundreds of cars out there watching movies, you know? Crazy. But we pulled in there, and there it was. It just hit me like a ton of lead, man. The scene where Dallas is hitting on Cherry. What's going on with you? You know, that whole thing. And she's like, move on, Hood. Get out of here. All right, I know when I'm not wanted. Fine. God, I sat right there in front of the snack bar where that whole scene went down. And it's just something you'd think you're never, ever going to get to see, you know, like back watching that movie. I just, you know, just worship that film of just like, God, this is how simple life was back then. And you never think one day I'm going to go walk around that house that the shot The Outsiders at, or go to the movie theater, the drive-in movies. It's so funny, man. And I can't tell you how great it was. And then the show at the Brady Theater was beautiful. It looked like some old 60s theater that like the Beatles would play at or something. And then the next night we were in San Antonio and the Final Four was going on there, which Burr and I had no idea, you know, a month ago when we were doing the shows that it was going to be the Final Four. So the whole town was just madness down there at this place called the Riverwalk. It was kind of like a Mardi Gras going on. And this is how great it is to be somebody with a powerful draw like Bill Burr. Because the Final Four is, you know, if I was coming to town on my own and the Final Four was happening, they would just look right at me and go, yeah, dude, it's probably going to be a little ropes this week in the Final Fours here. And right away, I would know, like, ah, there's going to be no one here. But when you're like Bill Burr and you've been doing comedy like 25 years or something, and you're at the top, no one gives a fuck. They're like, yeah, Final Four is here, but Bill Burr is here. And he sold out two shows, like 5,000 tickets, man. And I mean, that is just awesome. I always say you want to be the thing in town that everybody else is like when you roll into town, you want to hear like, ah, it would be packed tonight, but Bill Burr's here. So sorry, bro. I mean, you want to be the thing. You don't want to hear about the thing. You understand what I'm saying? You don't ever want to come to town. They go, it's the Final Four. You want to come to town. They go, dude, it's sold out. You're the thing. And that's hard work. That's all hard work and excellent joke writing and just fucking pushing forward, man. And a great inspiration that Bill Burr is to me, man. I just love it. Thank you, Bill, for having me. And thank you, Tulsa and San Antonio. And I just can't tell you how magic it was to see that outsider stuff. Go watch the movie if you've never seen it. Or if you have seen it, throw it on this week and relive it. It's just so beautiful, that movie. What else is happening? Tomorrow is the Bon Scott tribute. We've been waiting for the Bon Scott tribute. It's finally here tomorrow night at the Avalon, 7 p.m. Hollywood. Sold out. Show is sold out, but I'm going to give you a heads up. In the middle of the show, we're going to be able to have 200 more people. So if you want to get there at 9 o'clock, it's going to be $40 cash, and you'll be able to get in for the concert portion of the show. You can see us play the Power Age album. You won't be able to see the comedy part because that's seated, but as soon as we take a break, we're going to move the seats, and we're going to have room for 200 people. So come down at like 9, line up, and you'll be able to get in to see Scott Ian, Nikki Sixx, Rudy Sarzo, Dave Kushner, Bill Burr, Mark Maron, myself, who else? George Lynch, Steve Gorman from the Black Crows, Billy Rowe, Josh Z, Michael Devin. It's on and on and on. It's going to be incredible. And we're going to light up the Power Age record. We're going to do our best to salute the mighty Bon Scott and, of course, Malcolm Young. And we're going to do it, man, tomorrow night. I cannot wait. All this hard work that this fucking thing has been is going to be well worth it. Okay, this week I will be in New Mexico with Joey Diaz. And all the info is on my website, deandelray.com. I'm pretty surprised. A lot of people hit me up all the time and say, hey, man, when are you coming here or there? Just go to my website. I keep that thing very current. And all kinds of upcoming shows are on there, all the tour dates, so don't miss it. I'm going to be in Nashville with Bill Burr at the Ryman, 420 and 21, San Francisco. I will be headlining the Punchline May 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. That's going to be pretty damn cool. Arizona House of Comedy headlining May 17th through the 20th. And Irvine Improv, April 11th, I will be headlining. Those are all some upcoming shows. Also, I'll be back in New York all of June. So look for that. That's going to be cool. Let's talk a little bit about the guest today. Incredible guest. You know, I don't know if you know anybody that's been around 100 years in America. Not a lot of things have been. There's a few humans that have been around 100 years. There's some things, you know, but most are gone. And most are not handmade. This will be a handmade episode. We're celebrating the 100-year anniversary of Westco Boots. And yes, I had Chris on before a couple years ago, and we had a great time discussing how you could get measured up and custom-made boots and everything. But this episode is a tribute to Westco Boots turning 100 years old this year. And man, that is monumental in this world of, you know, everything being made in China or, you know, out of the country or whatever. These boots are still made in America, in Oregon, by hand, by humans. no machine. You know what I mean? I mean, they use machines to sell them, but you know what I'm saying. He's got soul, and they are some of the best boots on the planet. So 100 years, and we talk all about it. It was great to have Chris back on. He phoned in. We had to have him phone in. It's a rare phone interview. I don't like to do those usually, but I really wanted to have Chris on, so I did not want to pass up the opportunity. I hope you guys enjoy it. I know a lot of you really like these handmade episodes, and that really fires me up because I love this shit. I wouldn't have it on if I didn't love it. It's just blows my mind. I love great quality, and I love good stuff. And I think you'll dig it. Chris is on. That being said, let's also give a little shout out to Doc Martens, who turned 58 years old yesterday. And in honor of Doc Martin turning 58, I bought a pair of black made in England 1460s. I love the 1460 boot and the made in England especially. So happy birthday, Doc Martin. You know, you can't have too many boots. And I tell you, Westco, Doc Martin, Brian the Bootmaker, Red Wing, what else? Whites. All these boots are great. Everybody has their own preference. But to me, at the end of the day, I always go back to Westco. I love them. And I know you'll love this episode. If you want to donate to the podcast, feel free to hit up patreon.com/DeanDelRay. I want to give a shout out to Rami Becker for podcast donation. So damn cool of you. And if you guys are Patreon donators, I've been putting up all kinds of cool little things on the Patreon app so you can watch some private video for you guys. And I hope you enjoy that. This episode is brought to you by Onnit.com. People asking me how I stay trim, healthy, and want to get in shape and eat right and keep yourself together, man. You want to stay on this planet. You want to stay on it. You want to stay alive. You got to keep yourself healthy, and Onnit helps me do that. You want to get 10% off their products, you go to Onnit.com/Dean, and Onnit is spelled Onnit.com/Dean. I've been using the Alpha Brain, and it's been helping my focus big time. You know, I get a little scatterbrained, especially since I quit sugar and caffeine. My brain just goes all over the place, but Alpha Brain really helps me out. I also like the new mood when I want to chill. I've been enjoying the joint oil. You know, I hate the taste of fish oil. It's disgusting, but their joint oil tastes like tangerine. It's like candy. I'm all over it. If you go there right now, onnit.com/Dean, you can get a free bottle of Alpha Brain. They'll just charge you the shipping. And that's on me, guys. That's my gift to you guys. Alpha Brain for free at onnit.com/Dean. And support these people, man. They help the podcast and they donate and they advertise on here. And it means a lot to me. I love all the products that I advertise. I don't have anything on here I don't dig. So check it out. You can get 10% off everything and a free bottle of Alpha Brain. I guess that's about it. I will have some more info for you guys on how the Bon Scott tribute went down. And also, you could maybe sneak some of peeks on my Instagram, which will be there tomorrow night. We'll be shooting a little bit of stuff for the Instagram. I love all you guys, man. I appreciate your support. And just keep spreading the word of Let There Be Talk. Tell your friends, subscribe, hit the YouTube channel, which you can find the link in my Twitter feed on the bio. YouTube channel has all the podcasts up there now. And I love you guys. Let's keep it going. Here we go. Candles lit. Handmade Westco boots.
Hey, wake up. Your eyes weren't open wide. For the last couple of miles, you've been swerving from side to side.
All right, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. Today will be another handmade episode, and it is the return of my good friend Chris Warren. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. Good. Glad to be back. Thank you very much.
From Westco Boot Company. Westco Boot Company. Now, this is a special episode because I had you on a couple years ago, and we did the whole thing about how you can custom measure a foot and get a boot that fits exact to you and all the different styles and everything you can do. But today is a celebration, in my eyes, a humongous milestone of 100 years of making boots in the USA at Westco Boots, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we discussed it last time where it was a family-owned business based on logging, and to see how the company has evolved to where it's at now is, well, it's phenomenal. You know, I mean, it's pretty much mind-blowing, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the prides I have of doing the handmade episodes is that people, I think they don't, I would say maybe like 90% of people, they don't really realize where their stuff's made. I think they just go into like a, you know, a store, buy the stuff, leave, and just have no idea that most of the stuff's made in China or wherever. And they don't really sit down and think about the old world of like, at one point, some guy started a small little boot company, you know, and here we are 100 years later. I mean, that is just insane, especially what it takes to have a company now in America. You've got to, you know, you got these wages that it costs a lot of money to live in Portland up there where you guys are. So you got to be competitive, right? You know, and then you could easily make this boot in China for about $40, probably. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, looking at the cost of materials, just in the upper of a boot is unreal to still make it in the States. And, you know, like us, our materials, our leather and our soles and all that come from the U.S. So we do pay premium prices, but I'll tell you, with everything that we test and that we run through R&D and all that, we pick the best of the best. So it's, we think it's well worth it. You know, you get what you pay for.
Well, I often talk to a lot of people and they always say like, well, I can't believe how much that stuff is. And when I look at it, completely the opposite. I'm like, I can't believe how cheap this is. And I don't have a lot of money. So what I'm looking at is, well, I've bought, now look, I love Doc Martens, okay? And I wear them, but they fall apart. They're not made in London anymore, unless you buy the London ones. You know, they're made in like Vietnam or China, and they fall apart. And I pretty much buy a pair about every 2 years. If I'm riding, I'll go through a pair in a year easily. You're not going to resole a Doc Martin, I buy the colored ones and the color flakes off. It's not like dyed leather, you know, it's like painted on, you know, and I'm not shitting on Doc Martin because I love Doc Martens. My point though is I buy a pair every couple years. That's about $160. And, I have a pair of Westcos right now that I bought in the 90s and they are better than ever right now. You know what I mean?
Now,
if you look at that, it's probably like $10 a year or, you know, $20 a year I paid for these boots, you know?
Yeah, and not only that, if you need new soles, it'd be even cheaper to just get soles on those than it would be to buy the other boots that you were wearing.
100%, you're so right. And not only that, but they become an old baseball glove on your foot. The way they feel when you put them on, you go, oh, these are my boots, you know? And it's that old saying, you know, die with your boots on, you know what I mean? It's such a fantastic boot. But my point is people, they don't look at the long run in life. They look at like right now, like they'll pay $1,000 for an iPhone that'll be outdated in a year. And then they'll look at boots for $600 that last them till they die, and they go, oh, man, that's pricey. So people's priorities are all upside down, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I deal with, you know, it's an event for a lot of our customers that come in. Like you said, it's, you know, it's expensive, but when our customers come in and they grab that boot and they try a few on, I mean, you instantly, you just see and feel the quality right out of the gate. It's not, you know, they don't question that. And then as they're going through building it, really for a handmade, custom, USA 100% made boot, like you said, it's not that expensive.
It's not, dude. I mean, you know, it's so funny that you... that we're doing this episode right now, because on the way over here, a guy tweeted at me, and I'll read you the tweet. I can't even believe the odds of it. On the way over, he says, "Hey, Dean, I was thinking of picking up a new pair of boots to wear around riding time to time, and all around just a great boot. Any recommendations? I like Westco and what's the other one he put here? Westco and Fry's." And, of course, I'm like, you know, Westco immediately. He has a $500 budget. Mm-hmm. What is just the stock price of the boot? I forget. Just a engineer boot. Is it $500, $600?
It's $470, $472.
That's stupid. I mean, that's a great price, you know? There it is.
Yeah.
That boot, I've been rocking an engineer boot, the one I bought at the Sturgis. I've been rocking that boot since 2006, my second pair, you know. I mean, the first pair I just bought off the shelf in the 90s, you know, in San Francisco somewhere. Oh, these are great. And then I get a pair custom made from Sturgis, and now I got another pair from you. But, I mean, you know, those boots, they're going to outlast me, you know.
Yeah, it's something that I've looked at over the years where, and you and I have talked about it, but my father has worn our boots since I was a little child. He worked up in Northern California as a millwright, and he always had two pair of Westcos, and that's just through my childhood. That's what he had. You would always see them by the door, one pair or the other. And, you know, he always told me, invest a little bit more money so you have your items longer. And that's one thing that, you know, as you were saying earlier, you don't have a ton of money, and it's an expensive thing. But me, as the sales manager, for the first 7 or 8 years, I worked on them, you know, stitching them, nailing them, all of the internal parts of it, I did. And then once I got the first pair of Westcos on my feet, I still have them. And they're like, I don't know, 13 years old. I've worn them on my Harley. I've worn them out in the backyard with a shovel. I've done gravel and paved. I mean, everything in daily life, you know,
yeah,
to those boots, and they're still just kicking it. I mean, they're amazing.
Now, when you first started working there, we talked about it on the episode a couple of years ago, but when you first started there, you were on the ground, on the floor, building the boots, and it's got to be interesting to, because you never built boots before, right? You weren't doing this before. Actually, as a career, move up to Portland and you could train someone who's never done it to build a boot? Is it difficult, or is it kind of like, do you need a little bit of artistic, or is it kind of like, here's the patterns, you can do it?
I could give a really long-winded response, but I'll give you the short version just because. When I walked in here, I had no clue. I mean, zero. you know, and in the interview it was, yes, I've done things with my hands for work. Have I done, you know, to me, no, you don't have to have shoemaking experience. Would we like it? Yeah, it's okay, but we want to teach you how our boots are made. You know, we want, and we don't oversaturate it. We take an individual that comes in, that gets hired, we take them and teach them the first job, and then we add to it. So it's like, instead of trying to do all these different things, you take one thing, you work towards mastering it, you add a little bit more on the plate. You know, like say initially you come in and you're hand nailing the leather soles, and then after that you're gluing the soles and pressing them, and then you're trimming them, and then you're stitching, and you know, we kind of work it all out. You know, our management team does a good job at training and cross training and getting everyone comfortable before we move on, because you know, as we've discussed, it's, you know, it's a spendy product. We want to make sure that everything's done correct and up to our standards. So we kind of we try to limit it and just start in one position and then move on from there.
That's amazing, man. I mean, how long have you been there again now?
You know, I was first hired in the beginning of 2002. So
wow,
a little over 16 years.
Yeah. 16 yeah. years, man. That's just amazing. You told me something recently, and I'm kind of going through it right now, but you moved about an hour away. You used to live right next to the factory, and to me, I know that you don't mind the drive in, you listen to podcasts and stuff, but I'm finding that the closer I live to work lately, the better it is. Like, I just walk to the comedy clubs now, you know. Does it affect you, or are you just kind of like, wow, I'm an hour out now?
You know, for me, you know, Roberta, as I've mentioned her before, which is our CEO, she runs everything. She's the owner and she's the president. And, you know, as I discussed with her prior to moving and taking the sales manager job, I told her that I was committed to Wesco. I want it to be a career. So as you said, correct. I would love to live a little bit closer, but, yeah. You know, we've got Colton and he's 9, and us living an hour away, it's kind of a, you know, it's another small community, but he's digging it. And the commutes, it's about 50 minutes to an hour. Now, if I was doing 2 hours each way, I'd probably just, I'd go crazy, but you know, it's kind of like in the morning, I'm ready when I get here. And then when I'm done at work, I can kind of decompress, make a couple calls, you know, Bluetooth, make a few work calls that I need to take care of after work. And, you know, it's not too bad. So it's tolerable.
It's that American work life. Now I always say it's not 9 to 5 anymore. It's like 9 to 9, you know, I mean, look, I text you in the middle of the night, like I need this boot, you know, it's a crazy world of, I was reading where employers are now expecting you to start working right when you get in your car, like start doing calls and on all that stuff, man. It's definitely a different world. So if you're not doing a job that you love, and thank God you love, you work at something very cool. You know, if you're not doing what you love, man, wow, it's just it's crazy, you know. So what a score to be in there. I often sometimes fantasize like, oh, what would I do if I didn't do comedy, you know? And I know it would probably be either in the watch world or the clothing world, because I already did the motorcycle world. But it is a lot. It is like when I was young, I had a job at Foster Freeze making ice creams, and I was like, this is the greatest. And after a while, every job becomes a job, right? I mean, it gets to that thing, yep, of like, here comes another guy. He's going to ask me 7 million questions about the boots. And you got to stay up on it, right? Like still dig it. How do you do that after all that time of being in there? Is it stuff like Instagram? Because I know that Instagram has really, really kicked ass for some people like Wesco, you know?
Yeah, that's, you know, that is one huge thing for us, where, it, you know, and Instagram is so massive, you know, in regards to a handful of social media, but our customers, our friends, our fans, everyone that shares the photos, you know, like you, for example, we did a podcast. I've got people calling right after that. We post a picture that we share from, you know, it could be Ship John, it could be whoever, Division Road, it could be Black Bear, but whoever our dealer is, you know, we'll put something up or they'll put it up. And I mean, more than not nowadays, it's calls, emails. I mean, it's unreal, especially like that boot that you and I were discussing last time I was in LA, that horse hype boot.
Right.
I put that on Instagram, and I mean, I couldn't have had more emails about that boot.
Well, that boot's incredible. Let's talk a little bit about that boot. It's a Jobmaster, right?
It's a modified. So what we've done is we're trying to get away from a boot is called a Packer, for example.
Right.
But the Packer had what we call the number 65 upper is what we were using for it. 65 was used years ago on our lace-ups. So what Roberta's done, she's going through and to pay back to her family and her roots and everything, that boot is now called the Hendrick, and then we have the Johannes, which was formerly known as the Foot Patrol.
I got you. You're changing the names now. Back to the old one.
Yeah. So the Robert William, we named that. Roberta and I were talking. You know, we thought it would be cool to name that after her father. So that's Bob, who ran the shop for a handful of years. That's who the Robert Williams named after. And then the boot that you were looking at is the Hendrick that had the toe cap and the kind of flatter Motor Patrol toe profile, but yeah, the old 65 Packer style upper. It's real. I mean, it's just classy. You saw it in person. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, this is the boot I'm getting, you know. Now, I mean, yep, it's just so incredible. And I'm a horsehide freak, and the horsehide you were using was spectacular. Is that from Horween?
Yep. Yep. That's Horween.
It's so beautiful. And the low toe, because I noticed something that I kind of got over in boot taste. And, over the years, boot taste changed for me. And I think it's a lot because I'm on stage and I can see photos and profiles. But I don't really necessarily like the white kind of bent up sole anymore, because it kind of seems kind of, if I see it on a photo, it seems kind of weird to me. But when you're wearing it and working in it, it doesn't matter. But there's different reasons for different styles. You know, I wear mine on stage, and I stand a lot at night, and I walk a lot in New York. And if the boot is kind of heavy and stuff, I need to change it up. So each boot is different for me. One is great for motorcycle riding, and the other one's great for all around. You know, this one looks great for all yep. around. You know, now here's a
It doesn't have a big meaty sole. It doesn't. I mean, it's your pants are going to hide the upper of it, and the lower, it's, you know, like you and I were discussing, it's got kind of a little bit lower heel, and not super big traction or anything. It's dressy looking. It fits a lot of different areas.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks amazing, man. And the toe cap is just classic with the brass. And you can see it in their Instagram, you guys. If you want to see it, go to West Co Boots. And it's about the 10th photo down. It's called the Hendrick. It's got the brass eyelets. I don't need the speed hooks. Do you like speed hooks? Because it seems to me that speed hooks, I don't know if I'm doing it wrong, but the lace will come out of it sometimes, and then all of a sudden the boot's loose.
Yeah, it depends how you fold that tongue over. Ours are designed for a little S-curve, so the way that you fold them, it'll lay down flat, and it won't put excess material on the sides of your ankles. So it just depends. I'd kind of have to look at it, but, you know, it's in a short boot, it's not bad either way. Some people prefer the speed hook because they just put one finger in between both laces and they lace it really quick at the same time, tie it and go. And then others don't, they just don't want that. They don't want the hook sticking out on it. They want it to be smooth, clean, dressy, all eyelets. So really preferences on that.
Now, is this part, now you're doing a hunt, you got a whole thing coming out for 100-year anniversary. Is this part of the 100-year line? I know you got a special boot coming out for the 100-year, just a one boot, or is there numerous boots coming out for it?
We do have a bunch coming out.
Because I see the box here.
The boot that we're, what's that?
I see the box here. It's rad. 100 years, Wesco. How cool is that?
Well, we've got a handful of things going on behind the scenes. I mean, as far as your question, yes, we have multiple pair that we're going to be coming out with. The first pair is almost complete. We're just doing a couple different labeling things on them.
Right.
And finishing out some of the soles and so on. So within the next, I'd say within the next 2.5-3 weeks, that will be seen. The photos will be seen. It's a killer throwback of our first printed catalog. One of the boots that was in there.
From 100 years ago or something?
What's that?
From how many years ago, the first printed catalog?
You know, we were trying to figure out the date on it because it's a real small little pamphlet, and it says in there that Wesco's been standing the test of time for 30-plus years. So that would put it
70
in the mid-late 40s.
Wow.
So, yeah, and most of those boots, you know, you look at the timber boot, but then you look in the 30s where, you know, an engineer or our lace-ups came out. We're going to be doing... And I've said this in a couple write-ups and whatnot. Our anniversary year, in my opinion, of what I would like to do and what Roberto's okay with and so on, is to kind of give back to those styles that got us where we are. I mean, yes, we've evolved, but those boots built the foundation of Wesco. So there's going to be some lace-ups. There's going to be some pull-ons. All old school with cool little details that we're going to outline in some of the social media and the email blasts that we do and so on. And you mentioned earlier, we were talking about 100 years. One thing that's been really cool through all this is Roberta has some old albums that we've been going through, and there's some pictures that I'll be sharing, like our factory here in Scappoose, Oregon. We have a picture from 1935 when the first time we started working here at this factory. And I mean, it's unreal. It has the structure of the building, but it's been added on to a bunch since then. You see all these old cars from the 30s parked down the, you know, out in the parking lot that's not paved, that it's all dirt. And it's just like, I don't know. It's beautiful. It's unreal to think that we came from that, like looking at all this and looking at the boots back then. And now it's phenomenal. It's pretty amazing. So I know Roberta and Peggy's another owner up here and Jeannie as well, who are just, I'm sure they're beside themselves, you know, to know that they've helped this company succeed so well for so long from their father and their great grandfather and so on. So
how many boots do you guys make a month around? Do you know?
You know, it ranges. When we used to do all work boots, there was a time where we were doing about 144 a day, 150 a day.
Whoa.
And that was in 8 hours. But
144 a day?
Yeah. But when you're here, when you're up in Portland next and you come out, I'll show you, it's, you know, you used to walk through our factory and you would see just racks of the same style boot, and it was heavily work boots. So you'd see, you know, 18 pair of black Job Masters lace-to-toe aggressive tread. You'd see like 3 or 4 racks in a row of them. And then you'd see Redwood Job Masters lace-to-toe, and then you'd see brown Job Masters lace-to-toe. Now you walk through our factory, and it's unreal. Last week I was doing a little tour, and one rack's got olive and burgundy and brown domain, and it's got the new British tan leather that we just brought out, and it's got black tie, and it's got, you know...
custom stuff.
Almost every color that we have.
That custom stuff is where it's at, man, because it's... it really kind of gives you a, this is who I am. I designed this boot. You know, you can go on your website and the sky is the limit, you know. And once you get a boot that you really feel is you, it's so cool. I mean, it's weird when I wear boots, how many people comment on boots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I put photos up on Instagram of boots and people go crazy. There's something about boots, and of course sneakers too. There's that whole sneaker world, but with boots, You know, like sneakers, I said this over and over and over. When they get old, they suck. You know, like the thing about sneakers, it's all about pristine and new and unworn. But the patina on boots, when you take photos of old boots, man, people go nuts over that, you know? And to have your own custom boot is crazy. And I think that's a lot of what is saving, you know, people like Westco now that are thriving because of, you know, people love the individuality of it. And a lot of people shit on hipsters, like, hipsters. But I love hipsters because they have passion. And passion is what you need to keep businesses alive. You know, vinyl, watches, boots, denim, leather jackets, cars, old car, whatever it is. You know, hipsters have passion. A lot of millennials, they don't really care what they wear or what they're, you know, all they care really about is just the computer and that's about it. But with actual individual hipsters, you know, I see that they're into stuff and it's a passion that they have, you know, and that's what's great about Instagram. You can go on there and be like, oh, look at this guy's boot, rad, or I hate this guy's boot. Look at that, you know?
Yeah, I, you know, for me, I mean, obviously living out here, I'm a little more secluded than if I was in Portland or Seattle or wherever.
Portland's ground zero, that stuff, boy. I love it.
10,000, you know. But I'll tell you, I, you know, we even have it down to the point where someone will come in and they'll have a belt and a bag and whatever, and we match as close as possible. We had a guy come in that wanted to match his computer bag and his belt that he had custom made.
Wow.
And it was really close to our brown domain. The stitching that he used on it was like our mahogany, like our brown. And I mean, we made this beautiful pair of boots, and then he sent us this photo of it that was just phenomenal. And, you know, I think, and where people save and they're really looking for something that puts their personal touch on it. And that's such a massive part of succeeding with our custom product. It's, you know, they come in, like you said, they can pick out what they want, and that's very slim these days to find a made to order custom to you handmade boot.
It's true. I mean, you know, even the biggest companies like Red Wing, you know, they don't do that. You know, it's I would wear Red Wing, but they don't make, you know, they make a double E wide only in one boot, so they don't get my money ever, you know, because that particular boot I'm not a fan of. And I go, what about this one in double E? We don't offer that. And it's like, that's this, you know, that's crazy. But I get it because it's such a pain in the ass to do, you know. So for you guys to do it, I know how much work that goes into that, because it's like, you much rather, I mean, not much rather, because it gets boring, but an easy way of a company is just like, here's what we make. These five boots, see you later. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you can see that even in some of the smaller companies, they don't offer, they've gone away from offering made to order. And I don't really know what that says for them. You know, I don't know their ins and outs of how they were handling it. For us, we've always taken pride on, we can't do everything out there, but damn, we can do a lot. And it's, you know, we try to keep as many of our options as available as possible, you know. And like you said, and you know, and doing our boot builder is a great way, or just looking at our Instagram, because some of those boots that go through, like I've said in the past, and I'll probably say it for my whole career here, some of that stuff I wouldn't have thought of putting together. Some of those options and toes and heel heights and hardware with different stitching. And
oh yeah,
man, I walk through the factory, I'm like, oh, I need to make a pair of those in a 13.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I love that. You pretty much everybody else's lunacy becomes you get to see all this stuff and go, oh yeah, I dig that. And then you could just make one, where to me, I come up with something and I get it and I go, man, I missed the mark on my design. You know what I mean? Like, that's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
You get to see it up close. There's a great photo on your Instagram, and a lot of celebrities wear your boots, tons of them. And there's this one of Pride of Gypsies on Jimmy Fallon wearing this, Jason's wearing this rad boot, man. Did he order that custom, or did you just happen to see him on Fallon and be like, oh, wow, that's our boot?
Oh, no. No, we worked on that design for those boots for him. He's got a few different boots that have that, and you can see where he had commented on there too under that photo. You know, where we've done some different boots for him. That one has a really specific, where we kind of combined a half slip, which goes on a side flap that goes on a climbing boot, and the toe cap. We removed part and then we made it all one piece on there. So it's kind of like a crazy looking toe cap gear shift kind of combo, I guess, if you will.
I had the shifter patch for years on mine, and people would always go like, what is that? Did you have a hole in your boot and just put that on there? I love that, you know.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, man, to have a shifter cap on your boot is just genius, you know, because all those years of, you know, that's the spot where you're, well, now a lot of the shifters have rubber, but back in the day, it was just like a cheese grater for a shifter, you know?
Yep.
So it just shred right through your boot after a few years, you know? So it's pretty amazing to have that. Let's talk a little bit about the 100-year stuff coming out, because I'm pretty excited about this. Are you still not able to get my favorite logo, the triangle logo that was on my dirt trackers?
Well, you'll see it. There's something we're using that has a logo that's similar.
Right.
But you'll see that during our second and third quarter. So we're kind of a little bit, so our anniversary isn't actually till towards the end of the year.
Right.
But we've been working on a handful of things, and this time we just, you know, made a sample, put it through, and each little tweak. And what I'm doing now for the second quarter is I've actually had it where we've thrown together some of just the pieces of the upper, so we're looking at color combos and so on with labels and tags and all kinds of stuff. So you're going to see it back out there. I'm not going to tell you right now what it is, but you'll see it, my man. You'll see it.
I tell you, man, I still am bummed I sold my dirt trackers. Remember, I told you, I thought it was like the boots were causing backaches, but it was really my back was messed up. You know what I mean? But man, I think the dirt tracker, actually, I think this new Hendrick is my all-time favorite, you know. It's replaced the Dirt Tracker as my favorite boot. It's just got something about the toe shape, and it's not the big old bubble toe. Because the bubble toe is definitely not good for me when I'm on stage or just wearing them normal, you know. Way this boot looks, and I was glad to see it in person, you know. Now people can go up to the factory and take a tour, right?
Yeah. We, you know, I'm here Monday through Friday. Friday, we don't actually have any production going on, unless we're working on, you know, some makeups or something like that. But generally our staff works 6 to 4:30 Monday through Thursday. And then there's a lot of days where, you know, if it's a Friday or something, Bruce might give a tour as well. If one of us isn't here, he is definitely happy to do it as well. We just try to work it around our production and how much time it's taking. You know, if our lead times are way out there, you know, some times of the year we don't do tours. Just purely based on everyone's trying to get it going and make sure that we're not too far out there. But, you know, with the number of orders we've had the last few years, I think we've been about 12 weeks lead time for, it's been 2, 3, 4 years. I don't know. It's been as long as I can remember on this time.
So it's so if somebody orders boots now, it takes 12 weeks?
Yeah, 11 to 12, right around there.
You that's know, not too bad, though. I mean,
there's a couple thousand orders hanging out. Yeah, wow. It's
a couple thousand orders, so. Man. That's just insane. Yeah. You know, it's a couple thousand. Now, let me ask you, when you are sitting around, now I know you're the head of sales now. Do you, you come up with a lot of ideas like I do. We sit around and be like, what about this and that? Do you ever get any pushback? Like, no, we just can't do that, Chris. You know, do you ever get that? Or do they give you pretty much gung-ho? Because I know some people, when they're owners and have been around a long time, they do lose a little touch or a little bit of excitement. So it's great to have somebody like you around that's like, I think we should go old school logo and do this 100-year thing. Is that a lot of your idea or is it the company?
Well, I mean, the ones that we're doing for the anniversary, I picked out to do all of those. And as far as getting the whole boot through, yeah, I mean, we're all on the same page here where I'm talking to the production manager about, you know, talking to Chris about, hey, what do you think on this? You know, do you dig this style? Do you like this? Do you like that? I show him that the style that we're going to do on this boot and the sole, one thing Roberta and I were talking about is doing a different logo on the sole. And so there's definitely input all around on it. It doesn't matter if I came up with it or whoever. I don't kind of fixate on that. I just want us to be successful in what we're doing. So I don't know. Roberta's really open-minded as far as a business owner. She's been really cool to work with on this. I mean, I think she's as excited as any of us. I mean, I'm pretty jacked up on it just because I know that the boots that we're going to do are going to be one time only. We're not going to release them again.
Wow.
And I know that people are going to dig the styles. Yeah, we're not going to do this. This is it. The first quarter,
wow,
is going to be like a 3-week window for pre-orders. That's it. The second quarter, same thing. You're going to have a 3-week window. There's going to be a photo shoot. There's going to be some email blasts, some social media stuff that we do. And then that's it. So if direct customers or dealers or whoever wants to get on board with those, it's got to be during that period.
And so for the 100-year, are there going to be 3 different boots or 2 different boots or what's the plan? Or can you say?
I'd say there's a few more than that. Yeah, I'd say there's...
But what I'm asking is, let's say you got 5 boots for the 100-year. Those are only going to be available for this year only, and then that's it, right?
That's it.
Wow. Correct. Wow.
Correct.
Now, so, here's a question. West Coast, mm-hmm, Japan, which is Sonny, and who is, yep, partners with you guys, is he doing a separate 100-year boot, or is this all part of both you guys?
No, so how we did it, and we're talking about people doing different things, we found this, you know, Roberta and I had discussed doing some old boots, right, out of our catalog.
Right.
And then she worked on, like, our logo and everything was from her that we're going to be putting on there. So she's involved in that as well. As far as Sonny and Coda and them, they run their own business. They're just a distributor for us. So, and a great one. I mean, and you were just there at Good Art with Sonny and Coda and,
right,
you know, they're great, but they did their own 100th, from the Shinki Tannery. They did that horsehide Jobmaster and Boss boot.
Oh yeah, I saw it. They had that inspiration. That was it, right?
Yeah, so that one was already pre-sold. They were doing that towards the end of last, you know, they did that last year. They did theirs early. So we had talked about when we start pushing these ones, they will offer those and bring those on into their stores and offer them to their network as well.
How many stores they have in Japan?
You know, Sonny was talking about that when we were down there. I think it's over 60.
Whoa, 60 stores in Japan?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, dude. He was talking about it in a group, and I know he said something like that.
That's incredible, man. I know Japan loves Westco, man, and they love mm-hmm. They love Americana. They love denim. They love boots. They love watches. They'll have Harley Davidson, Indian, everything. They're so into that. I love that about Japan, you know, and those people that come to the Inspiration Show that, you know, are the Japanese distributors and makers of all the great stuff. Those people are so amazing, man. They're just the passion they have is just great. I love talking to them, you know, but it's just so great to see those guys. And I really think that Japan is, you know, responsible for a lot of these companies still being open, holding, you know, keeping them afloat during the lean years, you know?
Yeah. And they, Sonny, he does a phenomenal job. And I don't know, did you look at his Instagram where they had shared the photos of the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, the cover of the book. So that's going to be something that's pretty unreal. I mean, our owners work direct hand in hand with him on critiquing and proofing. And, I mean, it's well over 250 pages. It's amazing.
It's a full coffee table.
The history in there is unreal.
It's a coffee table boot, a lot like something Ren Tanaka did with the leather jackets and hippie clothing and surf clothing and everything, right? But it's just going to be Westco boots.
100% history of Westco. Yeah, it's all Westco, and it's from old logos to buildings to pictures to locations downtown Portland to, I mean, just it's unreal.
Where can people get that book? Because that's a must own book. Is that Japanese only, or because I'm looking at some of the stuff on here, is it going to be available online? Where can you get that book?
You know, Sonny was just here a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about it, and he said he was going to sell that book. There's going to be two versions, he said. In that book, I'm thinking it will be available online. I'm not 100% sure. I know the amount of copies that he purchased. And it is in Japanese and English.
That's awesome.
So, it's sweet. Absolutely.
An editorial by Ren Tanaka himself, man. Now, where did he get a lot of these photos? Did you guys donate photos to it and stuff like that?
You know, I looked at, they had come up with a lot. I mean, Roberto over the years has given them a lot as well. When I walked in, I mean, she took, she took like a couple weeks away from the factory, at home to critique this book. I mean, there's so much information and dates and people and it's just unreal. So,
that's
right. And she had like where she would bring some things in and like old stamps that we've had and, you know, Ren would scan them and then put them in the book. And I mean, it's just watching it come together is great.
Let's talk a little bit about that cool ride you guys did. Of course, Portland has some of my favorite companies on the planet. One of them being Langlet's Leather. Another one, Ship John, who I just had on. And then you guys, of course. I love Portland's just a hub of just radical great shops and food and people, owners of, you know, companies. Now you guys got together and you did a ride from up there all the way to the bike run?
Born Free.
Yeah, Born Free. How cool was that? You had some people from Japan that came out for that and everything, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, the more I reflect on it, it's a once in a lifetime type of thing. You know, it was really cool. And what we did is, I mean, our distributors, so Sonny and Koda came from Japan.
They brought bikes or did they rent them?
Go ahead.
Did they rent bikes or did they bring their bikes over?
No, they rented Harleys for that ride.
Okay.
They rented them. So they had, they rented, and then Dell and Yule from Good Art China came over. My friend Milo came up from Southern California. Neil from Standard and Strange met us in the Bay. A handful of Chris, our plant manager, and his friends. My friends as well. They came with us. My in-laws came with us. I mean, it was this big group. And we left here and we kind of pieced it out in 4 days. But, you know, we had on, like you just mentioned, whether it was something from Mike at Ship John or Benny and Scott and John over at Langlitz, or, you know, all of us had Wesco boots on. And you can kind of thumb through those pages on Instagram. You could tell when we were on that trip because I had posted a handful of pictures. But, you know, for people to fly in from other countries, I couldn't ask for a better experience.
It's so rad because it's just I've done long rides with people to Sturgis and, you know, all over, you know, a lot of huge rides, Redwood Run and all that. And the bonding of that kind of those kind of rides is they locked in your brain forever. And also to have people that are way into the same stuff, like the jackets, the denim, the motorcycles, the boots, everything, you know, it's interesting to see all these different types of people, and they get together over one, you know, one thing, the love of handmade goods, you know. And you learn so much about people on rides, right? When you're on them, you're like, whoa, this guy can't handle his booze. This guy snores. This guy, I hate the guy that doesn't gas up when everybody gasses up. You're like, what the fuck are you doing? We're gassing up. Gas up. Well, you know.
Fortunately, we had some pretty smart riders with us. So great. We got lucky. I mean, it was great from when we left here with, you know, Roberta and Peggy, the owners, and like Karen and Kim and Bruce, everybody outside, and we just have this big group of motorcycles. And we left here, and when we got down to the first stop, they put Koda, so Sonny and Koda from Wesco, Japan, they put Koda on this little Sportster.
Oh,
so,
no.
I mean, we were stopping.
Oh,
were stopping all over.
Oh, what did he have for, like, did you guys have a follow truck or something? Because there's no way you could do that ride with, no, like, a backpack. I've done that before. It's like a small child on your back. After 4 hours, you're like, I'm done.
Yeah, so our friends, Jeff and Randy and Lionel, who are good friends of ours, of Chris and myself, we used my father-in-law's big trailer, and that held a couple bikes, and then we used Randy's truck, and then Jeff and Lionel helped the group, like, lead the group and so on, all the way down through to Southern California to Born Free. But when we got to one of the gas stations, we realized that Milo had these two cans of fuel. So right. It was, each one held fuel in it. So it was like, oh, we could get Koda a little bit farther when needed, or if we stopped and
right.
weren't quite to that point yet, we could use those and fill him up real quick. And
I'm looking at the bike he did it on, and all I'm thinking, he did the whole ride, right?
Yeah, and he, you know, I mean, at one point I look back and I don't think he could smile bigger.
Wow.
You know?
Well, you know, on your first couple rides, I could imagine coming from Japan and being up in Portland and you're going on this long ride. What is it, 1,000 miles or something?
The way we took, it was 1,200.
1,200, so there you go. You know, you go on these long rides, and I've done it before. I did it on a V-Rod, you know, to Sturgis. And you're not really thinking about it, but later when you do it on a proper bike, you're like, oh, I was an idiot. Because you think, like, this is hard, man. We did some hard miles today. But when you do it on, like, a Road King or a Ultra, a Street Glide, you're like, yeah, you just get off, you eat steaks and talk, and the other guy goes right to bed. He's beat up, you know, the wind. And
well, I'll tell you, the temperature difference was unreal because we left here, it was June. So, I mean, by the time we're on I-5 South, I don't know if you've ever been, have you done I-5 down through Oregon over to the Northern California border?
Yeah, because you get up in the altitude and stuff, and
it gets
freezing. Same when you're going to Sturgis. You're dead summer, but then you get to the Vail Pass at 13,000 feet, and it's winter up there. It's like 30 degrees, and you're going, this is fucked. You know, you're not even thinking about that stuff.
Same thing.
Yeah, you don't think
There's
about
97
that.
97 in Grants Pass. Like 55 on the Northern California coast by the ocean with rain.
Yeah, man. You just, you know, here you are. dead summer. You're like, oh, I'm all good, man. I got like a, I got a hoodie. I got a hoodie.
My Wrangler hoodie on.
Yeah, I got a hoodie and some gloves and boots. And then you're like, oh, hey, pull off of that truck stop. Oh, now you're buying some shit clothes at a truck stop, man. I've been there. Hey, listen. Man.
Luckily, we had that trailer, so we had a bunch of bags of stuff. But yeah, what a ride and what a cool spot. I mean, you can see some of them where the cool thing was kind of what you and I have touched on this whole time. Everybody had on a different style of Wesco.
That's so cool, man. That is, you know, so cool.
It was killer.
Are you doing Born Free this year again? Because I know that people can meet you at Born Free and get their foot measured like you do every year, and then they have a boot that is custom measured to their foot. Are you doing that?
You know, right now we haven't done that. We've been talking about going with we got a couple other things in the works right now that we're trying to figure out, because we had talked about doing the salvage run we had talked about, which is the last part of June, going over to,
is that the Palm Springs one?
Team up with Giles and Alex, you know, with Ironheart.
Oh, I got
so,
you.
Yeah, we're going to be in Germany and the UK and do kind of a thing there where everyone can come visit and get measured and,
wow,
and so on. So I, you know, I think we might be out this year.
Now, wait a minute. What is that? It's a, what's it called? The Selvage Run?
Yeah, so it's a trade show that we, you know, a few years back, I originally met Giles with Ironheart at a show called Bread and Butter in Germany.
Right.
And it's a big show, and that's since they've been doing a show called Selvage Run, which I haven't been to yet, so I don't know all that it holds. But Alex, who's working with Giles and Paula and everyone in Ironheart now, Alex did the show and he was talking about how he had Ironheart and he had Wesco there, and there were so many people that he couldn't bounce back and forth. So we had talked about me going back over there and helping with part of the booth
is it all denim and that kind of stuff, like an inspiration?
You know, I think so. I don't know about as vintagey as inspiration.
Right.
But
all Japanese and handmade stuff, like that stuff?
Yeah, I think it's definitely that tune. And I can send you some stuff on it once we're off the phone and all that good stuff. If you want to check it out. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure it's a killer show. They said they did phenomenal there. And we're going to do an opening for one of our guys, the Lowdown on Denim. So.
Wow, that's rad. I wouldn't mind seeing that, man. Well,
I
got to
sure.
tell you, man, congrats on the 100 years. And it's so great to have you as a friend over the last couple of years and dealing with my lunacy of boot addiction and the constant search.
Just to put it mildly.
Yeah, yeah. The constant search for the ultimate boot, you know, I definitely have the ultimate leather jacket. My kind of jacket hunt has kind of really, really taken a back seat these days. Ever since I got that Real McCoy's Buco J100, I look at jackets, but I haven't really purchased any. It's just finally got the ultimate jacket after 40 years or whatever. But
awesome.
I just love constantly looking at the boots. And they never get old to me, you know. And this new one that you got, this Hendrick, just knocks me out. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to seeing this 100-year stuff, man. I'm pretty fired up for it. And I still got to get to that damn factory, man. Last time I was there, I had no car. And you guys are kind of like 30
yep.
minutes out of town, so I just didn't make it. But I will be in Portland again one day. I think I'm going to do comedy at Ship John's grand opening and then come up and see you and make it a whole weekend of just a little bit of handmade goods touring, you know?
Perfect. Perfect.
Thank you. And
absolutely.
Tell everybody.
Our doors are open.
So the Instagram is it's Wesco Boots, everybody. That's WESCOBOOTS, Wesco Boots. And do you have a Twitter? Because I never can find it because it's something weird.
You know, we had a Wesco Boots Twitter, but it wasn't as, I think Instagram is probably the most beneficial for us. And we have a Facebook as well, but Instagram seems to be the main one for the substance and everything that we want. And it seemed to work out the best. So that's the one that I always recommend everyone to go to.
Okay. And then, any discounts if they heard this episode?
You know, we could do a discount. Just tell them to email Chris at West Coast Boots, and I'll figure out something for them.
Chris at West Coast Boots, everybody. Email him, Chris at West Coast Boots. Get your boots. I know the last time I had you on, I had a million people emailing me. It was a great episode. And this is just great to have you on to celebrate the 100 years. I remember when you were here, it was 98 years. I remember it. And here we are 2 years later, we're both alive, and the 100-year anniversary is here. So much to celebrate. Thank you, dude. Great talking to you. And it was great to see you at Good Art last week and Inspiration. Always cool to see you. And I can't wait for to see what you got coming up, man. Thank you.
Likewise. All right. Thanks, Dean.
I'll see you later, man. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to Let There Be Talk Handmade. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and check out the YouTube page, Dean Del Rey. I got all the episodes up on there now. And also check my website, DeanDelRey.com, for all upcoming tour dates. If you want to donate to the podcast, it is Dean Del Rey. It's patreon.com/DeanDelRey. Keep rocking, guys. Candles lit. See ya.